twisted. That is the word Rebecca's mother, Eva, will use to describe the shoes. It's a word, an image, that will drop into Rebecca's memory. A haphazard seed taking root. Twisted, Eva will declare, wringing her hands as if she were squeezing the life out of a wet washcloth. Rebecca will picture black lace-up Oxfords with thick soles and a hard, raised heel. Prison shoes. In her mind, they are contorted cartoonishly into corkscrews. Rebecca will imagine the girl in the shoes when they were new, shiny. Or maybe they had been worn by others before her and were beat. Perhaps they were too tight and pinched the girl's toes, or too loose and caused her to shuffle her indignity across the floor, Rebecca will ponder. Rebecca will see her in a loose, rough cotton shirtwaist with button tabs where the waistband should be. A dress the color of schoolroom walls, holding areas, of bus station lavatories, numbing and anonymous. Her dark hair spread out stark and alarming against the Vaseline green of the fabric, shocking in its refusal to lie flat and quiet. It coiled and curled wildly. Too obvious. Dangerous. She will picture the girl as stocky and square and sturdy in her shoes. And angry. Her face, Rebecca will think. Her face is familiar. Rebecca's mother stands in front of the white porcelain sink in her new kitchen, the last project Rebecca's father completed before his addiction to nicotine claimed him. The last time her mother would flirtatiously wish for something. The last time Joe would take up the challenge. That was the essence of what they were to each other. Even at the end, Eva was his princess, his damsel in distress, his girl. Joe was her rescuer always, her hero. The white countertops, cabinets, white tile floor, every surface shiny as a silver dollar were her mother's idea. He grumbled that the color was impractical. It'll look like a goddamn hospital. He glowered menacingly and threw his tools around, kicked an old cabinet door, splintering the dry wood, causing his children to scatter like mice to the four corners of the house. Eva stood by passively, patiently. She cajoled him, babied him, pampered him, and got her way as usual. It was a lot of work for Rebecca's mother, this vision of husbands and wives, this version of marriage. She labored much more strenuously, plotting, play-acting, and preening than he did at sawing, nailing, and painting. Eva would sigh in the end, smiling like Mona Lisa. Oh, God! Beauty and the Beast! Rebecca would think mockingly as her eyes reflexively rolled in their sockets. The beast magically changes into a prince through Belle's saintly patience, simpering affection, and blind love. Rebecca was certain that's the way Eva saw her role, and what prompted these tidbits of advice imparted ever since Rebecca could remember. Never contradict a boy. Play hard to get. Play dumb. Always let them win. Rebecca ignored the advice. She loved racing the boys at recess when she was a little girl, and often won. How the boys felt about it was of no significance to her whatsoever. Rebecca hated the games her mother played. "I won't do it," she told her mother, once she was old enough to figure out what was going on. After a while, she lost patience with Eva. "That is so insulting, archaic. Times have changed, you know."